أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear sisters, we are in day 8/9 and we're looking at ayah number 32 of Surah Al-A'raf. It is the 7th surah in the Quran, in part 8 of the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين. O children of Adam, take your adornments at every masjid and eat and drink, but do not be excessive. Indeed, he does not like those who commit excess. I thought today I would select something easygoing to do, not realizing that there is nothing simple in the Quran. And this particular ayah has so many different layers to explore. And I'm going to be trying, inshallah, to have a look at a number of these layers. The more I read, the more, subhanAllah, the beauty of the Quran is revealed through these ayat. So this ayah orders, it's an order given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of the children of Adam at any time, at any age, to do one thing, and that is to take their adornments to every mosque they attend and to eat and drink. So this ayah comes straight after a number of ayat that deal with the story of Adam and Eve in heaven and their interaction with the shaitan, and the reference that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives with regards to coverings, clothings, and what they mean for both Adam and Eve. So the previous ayah talk about Adam and Eve being lured by the shaitan to do an act that went against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended to them, and as a result their clothings were removed by this action, and shaitan exposes their shame, and in that they are disgraced and ashamed, and they immediately try to cover up their private parts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in these ayat there are two types of coverings. One is, of course, the physical covering, and it is done through using natural fibers or skin, animal skin or feathers, as referred to in the Quran, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created to allow us to use for covering our body. The second covering is the spiritual covering, the taqwa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identifies this as the higher form of covering, and it is our moral values, our virtues, our mannerisms. They are the ones that cover up any sort of potential to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or expose behavior that is hurtful to others or hurtful to ourselves. And then immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers this order to the children of Adam to take their ornaments, their beautiful clothings, to the masjid. The word used is zina. And zina is something beautiful. You put it on to beautify yourself. So it could be clothing, it could be perfume. It some narrations also include combing of the hair as well. And the backdrop to this, the stories revolving around this ayah, was firstly that the non-believers or the jahiliyyah time, people used to make vows to go to the Kaaba and circumambulate the Kaaba completely naked. It was just something that they did. It was part of their tradition. And you know, whether it's women or men, they make a vow, if something happens, I will do this, and they go and perform rituals while naked. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect was, even during the time of the Prophet, some Muslims would go to the masjid to perform prayers while wearing dirty clothes or not smelling very well, you know, coming straight from work and without really taking care of how they look or how they smell, and they might even wear, you know, clothes that they would wear at home, suitable only for the home. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is educating them and saying to them that, you know, when you go to the masjid, take, you know, your best clothes, take your best ornaments, and you know, get yourself cleaned up and looking good when you come to the masjid. In fact, we know this from our imams. Al-Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam used to pray with putting on his best clothes. And when he was asked, why would you do that? He said, Allah is beautiful and he likes beauty. Allah jameel yuhibbul jamal. And therefore I decorate myself for him to, and I beautify myself for him. In addition to clothing, there is also mention of food and drink. So take with you your food and drink, and do eat and drink at the masjid. And there is that encouragement to do that. And we know that we're at the moment in the month of Ramadan, and we are, you know, part of our traditions is to break fast. It is recommended to break fast together. So many of the communities do that. You know, we do that in Eid as well. And so this is affirming these traditions and encouraging them and ordering us to continue doing that in the best of ways. But there is a condition imposed on that, and that is wala tusrifu, and do not be excessive. So the word tusrifu is the plural form of the root word saraf, and sarafa means exceeding the accepted limits or the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed. And in different contexts it's different. So for example, you could say that someone was excessive with regards to money, so he spent his money without really a benefit, or he was excessive with food, he ate too much, and the food that he ate is really not beneficial to him, and in fact it is you know, hurtful to his body. You know, excessive with water could mean that you know, the water was wasted without benefit. Being excessive in tarbiyah, in parenting, means, you know, spoiling the child and not putting boundaries and giving them more than, you know, more than what you should in terms of allowances and lack of discipline. In fact, in the Quran, israf and its different conjugated forms appears in around 23 positions in the Quran. Six of them as a verb. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, say, my slaves who have been excessive upon themselves. So that is in relation to being excessive in committing sins. That's Surah Az-Zumar, ayah 53. So six times as a verb, as in this example, and 17 times as a noun. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوهَا إِسْرَافًا, Surah An-Nisa, ayah 6, and do not consume it through israf, through excessiveness, Surah An-Nisa, ayah 6. In all of these forms of use of israf, or being excessive, there are different contexts, but all of them lead to the same thing, and that is, don't use things and don't perform things in excess of the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. It's important to understand what israf is, because if we are ordered to perform something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets a boundary, we need to understand this boundary so that we don't, in the process of performing our duty, exceed it to the point that we are committing a sin. And it seems such a light thing. You know, you're going to the masjid, you're wearing your clothes, you're taking your food, you're eating over there, you're drinking over there. But we have developed so many rituals that we don't really stop and think about them, whether it's during Ramadan or during Muharram, when we're doing commemorations, when we're doing celebrations of Eid and so on, that we really don't stop and think about what is the israf that we're doing. Is there israf or not? Our ends usually justify the means. So the end is that we want to celebrate a particular event, we are commemorating a particular event that is encouraged by Allah, that is actually an order of Allah, that is a tradition or a sunnah of the Prophet. And then the means of how we arrive at that is really not considered sufficiently. So looking at that in a bit more detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, of course, perceptive because He created us and He knows what we're capable of. He has put this limit for a reason, and He follows that limit with saying, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ, which means He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not like those who commit excess, those who are excessive, those who commit israf, those who are identified as musrifin. They are constantly exceeding the boundaries. And israf is so broad that it includes the amount, it includes the use, and it refers to a broad range of things. There are three areas of israf that we need to consider. One is in relation to ourselves personally. How is this israf going to hurt us? For example, when we eat too much beyond what we need, our body hurts. We hurt our heart, we hurt our organs, and you know, we as a result get diseases. Similarly, when we're talking about clothing, if we're spending excessively, we're hurting our budget. We're not really being wise in the way we spend our money. And therefore, we hurt financially. So this is relating to us physically as individuals. The second aspect of israf relates to the community. So if we're spending too much, then we are in effect hurting the community, because those who are less fortunate, they have rights on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in our money, puts in our blessings, a right for those who are not as blessed or who don't have the same blessings that we do. So by using it in excess, by using those blessings in excess, we're actually wasting them and misusing the rights of other people. There are narrations about Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He was asked by one of those who were Zahid or abstemious, why do you wear such good clothes when your predecessors didn't do what you did? And Imam Sadiq answers and says that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was living at a time where it was not prosperous. There was a lot of poor people, and it was not appropriate for him to be dressed and to eat and drink in a way that exceeds his population, the people that were around him. Whereas during the Imam Sadiq, there was prosperity, the needy people were satisfied, and everyone was supported, and therefore there was no excess in using good quality clothing or eating well. So the community is really important to consider. And as we live in a global world, the community doesn't just mean those who are in my area. Like, I live in Doncaster, and the people in Doncaster, or in Melbourne, or in Victoria, or in Australia. It is people that we are able to reach out to connect with, to help. So this is our community. It's a global community, and we need to consider the rights of other people as we use the blessings that are around us. The third category we need to consider when we're thinking about excessiveness. So the first one is individually ourselves. Are we being excessive in regards to ourselves, our limits, our boundaries, our needs? The second one is the community. And the third one is the entrusted earth. So we have been put on earth as stewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this trust to take care of. And in performing our duties or in living our lives, in enjoying the blessings that are around us, are we still carrying this trust appropriately, or are we misusing it? So going back to the ends justify the means in our community, we have these habits that we've developed in terms of performing huge gatherings and huge iftars where a lot of disposables are used because it's easier, it's cleaner, less messy, and it limits the work. We have excessive food that gets wasted. We are using, bottled water because it's easier and everyone has a bottle in their hands. And if there is a definition of israf, surely it should include this, because we know for a fact, that plastic waste on average takes 1,000 years to decompose in landfills. Plastic bottles take 450 years. And that, of course, is not counting the cutlery, disposable cutlery that is used, the sufras that are put on the floor that are made of plastic, which is very similar to plastic bag material, all in the name of making things easy. So in the process of performing something that is recommended, which is breaking fast together, we are performing the act of israf. And we turn a blind eye to it because it's too hard. We don't want to deal with it. It would require too much community effort to deal with it. We will all have to share the load. We'll have to wash dishes. We'll have to arrange for cutlery to come in that is not disposable. There will be a mess. We'll have to vacuum afterwards. But in that process of working together to achieve this iftar, this is the whole point, is to work together as a community to enjoy a meal together while performing all these acts of allowing this meal to come to place, and the children watching it happen. They watch mom and dad vacuum the place afterward. They watch mom and dad pack up the plates and wash in the kitchen and take turns with everybody else. And they develop those responsible habits to be part of that community and to give of themselves rather than just to take and sit and have the meal and enjoy it and then walk away. In terms of the clothing, how is israf going to be committed on a global aspect, whether in relation to being the trustees of the earth or being part of a community? Well, simple example that shocked me a few months ago when I heard it is that research shows that cotton t-shirts, just this average cotton t-shirt that we might buy for $10 from Kmart or Target, takes 2,700 liters of water. 2,700 liters of water to make takes this much water to grow enough cotton for one t-shirt. If a simple thing like a cotton t-shirt costs this much, this amount of water is enough for one person to drink in 2.5 years. And we know there are people who don't have water in this world. We know these people are thirsty. They don't have access to clean water. They don't have access to water to grow crops that they need for survival. And yet we don't think about that when we go and buy a t-shirt and, we just throw it within less than a year maybe, and it's the end of the story. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says take your beauty to the masjid, take your beautiful clothing, it's not necessarily go and buy a new set every single time, but rather take your cleanest and your best within the context of the times that you're living in and the community that is surrounding you, and not exceeding the limits, being aware, being responsible. Having said that, beauty is an important aspect of our innate self, our instinctive self. We lean towards beauty, we're attracted towards beauty. Children love beautiful things. It's part of those main innate things that are within us and attract us to. So we love good deeds. We love good things. We are curious. We believe in a higher power. We love beauty. These are part of our innate. It's there. It's instinctive. So it's not about limiting that. It's not about, completely ignoring it and trying to live despite it in abstinence, you know, and squash these innate and instinctive aspects of our self. You know, loving beauty, it leads us to creativity, it leads us to the arts, it leads us to making beautiful things. It also leads us to appreciating the beauty that Allah creates in everything around us. But the perfection of Allah's rule is that He encourages us to train and tame those instincts so they are enjoyed within a moral framework, without negatively impacting on ourselves, on our role in the community, and on our responsibility and purpose in this world. You know, we might look at something and want to buy it just because it's beautiful. But we also have to think, is this israf? Am I using my resources in the best of way? Do I have something that is beautiful already that I can use and it gives the purpose? So rather than be obsessive about things and just following the trend and wanting to live up to the expectations, look at around and see, how am I going to act independently and use my own direction in terms of needs and wants before I make that decision mindlessly. Of course, it's not easy to do that, particularly in a society where waste is just part of the way that we do things. It's not about what we need, it's about what's out there and how can we spend more money and spend more money to get more things that we don't really need, and really not thinking about the aspect of the limited resources that we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulls us back. This is the whole point of Ramadan, pulling us back to what's really important. Looking around and saying, am I living my life the way that I should be, the way that is authentic to my purpose on this world, the way that requires me to reflect and think about where I'm going and how I'm, my actions reflect my beliefs. It, you know, faith again is a practical thing. It's not something to be put on the shelf or only to use during Ramadan or only to use during prayer time. It is a life journey that requires us to be constantly mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and train our heart, train our mind, train our instincts and our desires to be in line with the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we continue to be on the straight path, as-sirat al-mustaqim, and we continue to reap rewards for doing what is recommended without falling in the trap of being excessive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being excessive, and may we be guided towards being mindful of the limits ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.